You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Icehouse Podcast. Jason Snashall is the owner and yacht broker of Ōraki Marine. The business manages Ōraki Marina and provides berths and boat sales, specializing in both new and used boat sales and the complete after-sale support that you can trust. They provide an array of services including engineering, vessel management, boat building, and much more. The business partners with quality boat brands and keeps in touch with international standards and innovation. Owner Jason is passionate about the boating industry and happy to give any listeners free advice and insight. So feel free to get in touch with Jason. His email is in the show notes below. Or feel free to check out their website for current boats for sale, both new and used. Those going to conference this year on the 30th of May 2024 should keep an eye out for Jason, who will be there. The new conference venue is right next door to his operation. Jason has a story of following his passions, trusting his gut, working hard, and being open to learn. This conversation highlights his energy for the industry and moving the business forward following his owner-manager program experience. Jason did owner-manager program 56 in 2022. Let's jump into the recording now. Welcome, Jason, to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Really cool to be talking about your experience and your business journey. But I want to start off with this question. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you passionate about?
Yeah, it's a very open-ended question. I've been called quite passionate before, so I'm passionate about a lot of things. Like most people, I'm passionate about my family and my private life, I guess, but lifestyle, travel, that sort of thing. But within my business, I'm certainly passionate about boating, which is what's led me into the business I'm in today. I love everything to do with getting out on the water. I'm regularly scuba diving or out fishing. Whatever I'm doing, I'm not too far from the water. Live just a walk from the water. Boating and family, lifestyle and travel.
Awesome. Was that something like water sports and being out on the water, was that something that was something big in your life from an early age?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've thought about it a fair few times. I actually, my family didn't grow up with boats. I think it was the scarcity of boating that drew me to it. I am from Australia. I'm from Perth, Western Australia, and I grew up in Scarborough Beach. And I was never too far from the water. We'd always be out bodyboarding or something on the after school and on the weekends. I was introduced to scuba diving at school in year 10. It was one of my extracurricular activities, and I fell in love with scuba diving and did my paper round until I could afford a set of gear, and I bought my own gear and was out every weekend diving with a mate of mine, and it all grew from there. Depends how I could be here all day explaining how we went from there, but to keep it short, with my passion for diving, my dad sent me a Navy Open Day, invitation that was showing where the Australian Navy SEALs, they're called clearance divers, where they were training in HMAS Stirling in Garden Island, WA. And so we went there for the day, and again, I fell in love with that, and I had to join the Navy. So I joined the Navy as a clearance diver back in 1993 or 1994, and the rest was history. I learned how to drive boats and repair boats and everything about boats in the Navy, and then got out and enjoyed it after that too.
Very cool. That would have been a crash course for sure, and everything boating. Yeah, very, very cool. I want to sort of gain a bit of perspective around what your days look like now. So what does a day in the life of Jason look like?
Day in the life. First thing in the morning is a little bit of exercise. I like to keep active, as most people do. And I'm a busy guy, so I find it best to do that before the family's woken up. So I usually try and do that in the morning early, and then I get a bit of time with the kids. time to just check the news in the morning, and then off to work. I live just 5 minutes from work. My marina, I run a marina as well as sell boats and have a service department. The marina is Ōreki Marina, I live in Ōreki, so just up the road. Yeah, and that's pretty much my day. On the weekends, I like to get involved with rugby. Coming from WA, I was always growing up on AFL, of course. And now I'm in New Zealand, I'm actually really enjoying, you know, learning about a new sport. So I do a bit of refereeing for my kids. And you can see on the wall behind me, you might not be able to see it if you're just listening on the podcast, but I have an Ōreki Marine sponsor. We sponsor the Grammatic Juniors just up the road in Okahu Bay.
Awesome. That's so cool. And yeah, it really does paint a picture of your lifestyle and how that, you know, connects with your business passions as well.
Sport. I love sport.
Love sport. And good on you for getting behind a very loved Kiwi sport, union rugby. Very, very good. While we're at it, why don't we talk a little bit more about your business, Ōreki Marine, and, you know, what you guys offer and actually how you got involved in that specifically?
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a journey, as it I'm sure it is for most business owners. You know, after the Navy, I went to university after the Navy. I went straight out of school to the Navy. And so I did an international business degree with focusing on Japanese. Everybody said you got to speak Japanese or Chinese, something along the lines. And so I really enjoyed that. But that was more about the fact that I was quite, you know, worldly and interested in traveling. So after that, I went off to the super yachts and worked on super yachts for 7 or 8 years. And that's where I met my Kiwi wife. We met in Bermuda. So I had to travel the other side of the world to find a Kiwi. And then we've settled down here in the early 2000s. And I went backwards and forwards to the super yachts while she got a grounding here. And it was quite hard for me as an Aussie, didn't know the New Zealand landscape, didn't have really any friends here, other than a couple of Kiwi mates from the super yachts. And so I didn't have a hell of a lot going for me either, really. Who wanted to hire a captain, an engineer, and scuba diver with a business degree? So I put it all together and started a business, and that's where I am today, doing everything marine and boating and putting all my years of knowledge on in the marine industry to work for private clients now.
Yeah, wow, that's so cool. So how does it work in terms of being, you know, that selling boats, the boat brokerage, but then also managing the marine? How does that work?
Yeah, again, good question. This marina is rather unorthodox. When this marina was developed, the council weren't allowing it to be owned by one entity, so it had to be owned by a charitable trust, and it's made up of a lot of the local community. And so they, because it's a charitable trust with no employees, they've put a management company in charge of this marina. There isn't another marina in New Zealand run this way yet. Mm-hmm. So it's quite common overseas. So Ōreki Management Limited is the name of the business. We go by Ōreki Marine to keep it simple. But we started managing the marina. I had a business partner back in the early days. And I guess with our knowledge of the marine industry, we started providing services to the berth holders here. There was nothing up on the landing beside us. No commercial businesses are allowed there. So we provided everything from boat cleaning to that just grew to engineering and all sorts of services. Mm-hmm. And then one day a client came in and said, "Look, you know, I'm not having luck with the guy selling my boat. Can you guys do it? You know my boat better than anyone else," because we'd been maintaining it. And our boat brokerage business was born. Cool. So we started selling boats, and from my travels, I'd seen a number of brands overseas and in Australia that weren't being represented here. So I got on the phone to France and rang a few of those companies, and now we're the dealers for Jeannot and Prestige Yachts, which is part of the Beneteau Group, as well as Wellcraft, Amel, and Most of them are French. The only brand that isn't so far is Fleming Yachts, and they're a very American brand that's quite a halo brand. It's a really high-end vessel. So, yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. I love that of like just taking up opportunities that comes, right? Someone mentions to you, exactly. You know my boat better than anyone else. Can you sell it? And then a whole nother arm of the business is born. So inspired by that. That's very cool.
We haven't been very good at business planning here because stuff just pops up and we open, when the doors open, you walk through them.
Yeah.
But that's where P56 came in.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the program we'll talk about very soon came in. No, that's really cool to hear, obviously following the passions too. But would love to hear from a personal perspective, what's that sense of purpose for you in the work that you do?
Well, the sense of purpose, I guess, in everything I do, I know it's a luxury for some people and they wish they could be like this too, but I've always just followed what I enjoy. I've given that advice to my children as well. One of my first jobs at school, I had to get a, my mum told me to go and get a job and start earning. So I thought, well, what do I like doing? And I liked eating pizza. So I went to Pizza Hut. I know that sounds stupid, but I've sort of followed my, of the things I enjoy and that sort of stuff. I didn't want to work at the supermarket and that sort of things didn't interest me. So when I learned about scuba diving through the school, that's where what ultimately led me to be a clearance diver in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth, I guess. So I think that kind of answers the question.
I try to
follow the things I find the things I'm good at are the things I enjoy the most. So it's where I follow my nose.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's such an important thing. And to learn at a young age, that's cool. You're instilling that into your children as well to follow their passions and pursue that. It's very cool. I'd like to hear, what's a piece of advice that you would give yourself, knowing what you know now in terms of business and that sort of thing?
Well, definitely, I definitely know the answer to that one. It would be to not take things in business personally, as a broad answer to the question. Obviously, from listening to what I've already told you to this point, everything I did was following my heart and the things I enjoyed, and I put a lot of love and dedication into my business and my clients. And I guess when I take a knock, I take it personally. It's only been the last year or two, and a little bit of wisdom from my ice house that's helped me to realize that I always wondered why business owners said they've learned more from their mistakes than they have from anything else. And I sort of thought, well, I don't want to make mistakes. I'm just not going to make any. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen. You have to try things out. You have to make the odd mistake. And when you get knocked down, you just need to get back up and keep going.
It's such a good point. Because I think, like, even thinking of myself, one of the fears around starting a business is, okay, well, if I make a mistake, it's on me. And, how am I going to emotionally deal with that? Especially if, you're a perfectionist or you've got a certain standard of what you do. It doesn't matter. We all make mistakes as humans. And so it's kind of a hard one to wrap your head around though, right? So it's cool to hear that you've done some work in that space to just sort of deal with it. Diving a bit deeper, if you allow me, how do... is there any practical tools around that in terms of that have worked for you to actually deal with those situations now?
I wish I could point someone to a book or a tool that's going to help them. But unfortunately, it's from my case, it's experience. I took a beating through COVID, as many people did. It was a tough time. And I think you just needed to see, you either sink or swim. I'm a big believer in it. And so when sinking's not an option, you've just got to get back up and swim. I think one of the big take homes I got from OMP 56 and the Ice House was the working on your resilience and taking time for yourself and hearing about non-negotiables. I've never really heard about that prior to going and talking with Icehouse and my colleagues there. I now have a regime where no matter what, no matter how busy the business is, I take off to see a personal trainer twice a week. And I'm even studying French, doing French lessons at the moment, which everybody that I tell, they turn their nose up, they're like, oh, can't you cancel? And I'm like, nope, I'm going.
Yeah,
that's, you know, every week, one for 2 hours a week. And they're my little things that I go to them and I clear my head and they are my non-negotiables now, and they are the ones, the things that I that people understand why I do.
Yeah, and I think those things as well give perspective, right? Like it's sort of like when you sort of go for a hike or go for a walk or something. I live in Tauranga, so it's, you know, going up the mountain and just looking down and you're like, oh, okay, my issues aren't actually huge in the big scheme of things. It gives perspective when you sort of are involved in things outside of the day-to-day business running too. So yeah, great advice. That's cool.
Yeah. It is to that point, for instance, with my French lessons, I'm in a classroom with all sorts of different people, and they're not boaties or people that are, you know, if you get tunnel vision running a business, you can really just deal with your peers and your clients and whatnot, and you just don't get out, I guess.
Yeah, it becomes a bubble, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. I know it's been a hard few years for business owners, and that's definitely front of mind when I have these conversations, but to put a positive spin on things, what's something that you're really proud that you've achieved in the last year?
Yeah, I might sound a bit corny, but I guess my taking control of my own mental health, really. Mental health's a word that, you know, a couple of words that gets thrown around quite a bit lately, but whether you actually have a medical condition or whether it's just looking after yourself, whatever it may be, everybody needs to focus on it, I think. And one of my greatest achievements was that I needed to look after myself before I could look after everybody else, and look after my business and keep things ticking. That's my big success, I guess. I'd love to tell you that I've sold millions and millions of boats, but you know, money's out there. You can be uber rich or just getting by, and you can still find happiness no matter where you are in life with money.
So true. And honestly, it can be an interesting topic to talk about and a hard one to talk about at times, but it's very relatable to business owners and leaders as they have to manage their mental health every day, you know, as they manage, you guys manage teams and the highs and lows and the profitability of the business and you know, the economic times, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And actually only a week or two ago, I was looking at exactly what podcasts were the most listened to last year. And the number one podcast was actually about a business owner talking about his mental health journey specifically and, you know, how he got to a point of...
The CEO.
Well, yeah, I love that podcast. It's one of my favorites, but no, this is one of the Icehouse ones. But yeah, and he was talking about his burnout journey and mental health, you know, and it's so important to have those conversations and just be really real with it. Yes, I also love Diary of a CEO. Stephen Bartlett's one of my favorite hosts.
Well, he started off as that sort of conversation. Now I think it's a bit of a chat show, but
yeah, it did though. It was sort of like a look into his sort of diary, right? As a CEO. So no, it's very cool. I wanted to also talk about a challenge. You know, was there a challenge within the business that has taken place in the last couple of years, and how did you overcome that?
It all actually led me to the Icehouse. I from what I've said so far in my story, I was basically a lad just that loved boating and diving and was just loving life, you know. And on the super yachts, I was living summer to summer. I was doing summers in the Northern Hemisphere and summers down here. And then I come back to New Zealand and my wife and I bought a house, and I had to man up and get a business. And I guess when I was very lucky when we went through the GFC, I was just starting boat brokerage, and believe it or not, we did really well out of it. There was a lot of people that needed to sell boats, and so we did quite well through the GFC and built the business through there.
Wow.
But yeah. when it came to the COVID, that was one of the most challenging times of my life. Just thinking about it now makes me emotional. But you know, it was hard. You didn't know what you were facing on that day that we were told we're locking down. Mm-hmm. And from that day forward, for the next 2 years, I was making some of the biggest decisions of my life. They weren't just decisions about me. They were decisions about my staff, my family, yeah. my employees. And it was hard. And you never knew whether you were making the right decision or not. I think I had my employment lawyer on speed dial the whole way through 2020.
Yeah.
and just to make sure I was doing things right, and just to make sure I wasn't being unfair or difficult or anything. So, fast-forwarding through 2020, I kept all of my staff, and I managed to keep everybody despite what some other business owners had suggested I should do. And in 2021, everything was still ticking away, but that was when we had the great, what do we call it? The great unemployment or something?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Everybody decided to move jobs.
Migration or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a lot of good long-term employees that decided to up and leave. And I felt that, but that was one thing I really took quite personally. And in hindsight, I'd love to be able to tell myself not to, but that's always hindsight's a good thing. And whether I would have been able to listen to myself is another thing as well. I really love my staff, and I saw them as friends, and I always do. And to be fair, those guys that have left, they probably needed to in hindsight, and I'm not dark today. Yeah. It was hard at the time. And, I can see a couple of them outside my window right now, and they're good mates. I'll go and say hello to them.
Yeah.
But it was tough. Then you've got to restaff and retrain, and everything fell back to my shoulders.
Mm.
And it was a sink or swim situation. And late 21, I was trying to figure out what I could do. I was, scanning the internet and listening to podcasts and reading books and whatnot. And then a friend of mine mentioned Ice House. And I started looking into it, and a couple of other business programs I looked into, but I went with Ice House, and everybody when I signed up to it said, how can you afford that much time off?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know, but it's just going to have to happen. I'm just going to do it. I remember one of the weekends was over a boat show, which I've never missed, and everyone said,
wow.
Oh, boat show. But I made sure I was there. I was blown away on the first weekend. Anyway, so I was, you got me at hello.
you're sold.
and I spent the time really working on my business and what I needed to do. And I didn't realize there was so much help out there. I think that was one thing the Ice House opened me up to, all of these different contractors and businesses, and then other business owners that I was doing the course with that had their own issues. And I was very focused on the fact that my industry was a niche and that no one else was having the same troubles.
Mm.
And I found out there were other people out there having the same issues, and I figured out how they dealt with it.
Yeah.
And so from the Ice House, I put together a very good, actually it was in the middle. I remember realizing this was a growth plan, really, is what we were doing. And I thought, how do I grow when I can't even run what I've got in front of me? And I think for me, I realized that the growth was to get my business in order, to be a little bit more professional, have an organizational chart, have, good job descriptions. And I had been what I was terming as shooting from the hip up until then. And now I'm really running the business as a proper business. And that structure opened the doors for me to hire, make a few new hires. My very, very last weekend, on the fifth weekend, one of my one of the external panelists, I forget her name, but she, I was giving my presentation and she said, it's just dawned on me what you need. And I said, oh, what's that? I thought, oh my God, I don't know what it is. And she said, I needed a general manager. And so I always thought, well, that's me. Who else is going to manage my business? But I've now got myself a general manager. It's the first thing I did after Ice House. And right. So I've got someone that's kind of got my back. And I know that when I'm, you know, I'll take a January holiday or whatnot, that someone's there to support me, which was great. Mm-hmm. I mentioned my business partner back at the start of this podcast. He actually sold out to me in 2017. So I'd been sort of running solo since then. And now I've got a really good business structure and some great management in place. And the place runs when I'm not here, which is great.
Wow. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Jason. Seriously, it's really cool to sort of paint that picture of where you're at before jumping on the program and just the structure that it brought that probably has eased, well, from the sounds of it, has eased a lot of things going on in your world too, right? And brought the joy back probably.
Yeah, well, it did. Yeah, I mean, I took the better part of January off this year.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Down in Hahe on the beach. So I hadn't been able to do that in past. I do travel quite a lot with this business. I go to boat shows around the world, Sydney Boat Show, Sanctuary Cove in Queensland, and the Cannes Boat Show. And next week I'm off to Miami. Miami Boat Show. So I'm able to do that now that I have someone managing the place when I'm not here. And actually, there might be people out there that think, well, that, you know, that's not rocket science. It probably wasn't. I just couldn't see it in front of me. It's, you know, it was in front of my face and I just couldn't see that that's what I needed, a bit of structure to the business.
Yeah, and I think the accountability piece, right, is really great for business owners that don't always have a boss looking over their shoulder saying, hey, can you get this to me by Friday? You know, just having that accountability of you need to do this pre-work before jumping on the next program. And just knowing that you'll be in a room with people having a look at your business, it definitely motivates, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, really cool to hear what you got out of it. Right back at the start, did you have any hesitations before jumping on the program?
I guess you look at how much it's going to cost, but I mean, you just have no idea. It was right in front of my face. I didn't know that I was going to find a solution. And to be fair, I guess on the course, I've done a university degree. So without sounding negative, there was nothing glaringly new there.
Yeah.
It was just about taking some time out to spend some time on yourself and on your business and to network with other people and just to realize that there are other ways of doing things out there and that you're not alone. Like I really did feel like I was swimming in an ocean alone.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me quite emotional to think about it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing openly about it. Because trust me, you're not the only one. And that's why I love working at the Ice House so much, because we're so impact driven, you know, but just helping business owners like yourself to sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel. And community is a big part of that for sure. You know, I've had conversations with people that said they felt like it was the first day of school rocking up to that first owner manager program block. And then so closely realizing that doesn't really matter what industries these business owners are from or part of, you guys have, you know, very similar challenges and opportunities and that sort of thing. How have you found the network that's come with the cohort that you went on program with? How's that community piece sat for you?
Oh yeah, it's been great. We've had a few catch ups since, and they've been really good. It's just we're all connected on WhatsApp, on a messenger there, and just support each other. Some of the guys on the course obviously didn't need that support, so they're a little bit quieter. But the general sort of 80% of us are still keeping in touch and catching up. It's a bit harder for those that are out of Auckland. Probably on our course, it would have been probably 50% outside of Auckland.
Yeah.
But many of them see so much value in it, in catching up, that they fly up for the weekend or whatever we're doing. So one thing I've learned is when there's a ice house event on, I put it in my diary and I sacrifice the time from my business because I get more out of it than I would, you know, the opportunity of losing and not going.
That's cool. That's cool to hear. You coming along to conference? Because it's very close to where you are.
Yeah. Last year it was walking distance from my house. So that's,
yes. Oh, cool. Now it will be walking distance from your work.
It's right next door at Akarana.
Exactly. Oh, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it last year and looking forward to having you join us this year as well. It's really going to be a great day.
We'll have to get everybody down to the boats on the break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whoever you're chatting to, get them to come on over. And yeah, that's so awesome. But yeah, it's community is a huge part of it, right? It's just, you know, not just your cohort, but then going along to conferences and events and slowly but surely meeting others that have done it.
Well, on that point, it's been quite funny, actually. It's almost like a stonemasons sort of club, really. I've actually realized a number of my close mates had already done ISAS. I guess it's something that comes up in conversation when you haven't done it. But now that I have, and I've mentioned it to a few people, people are like, oh, I did that. Yeah. And so, it's a really good network, I think, of people. There's other people that I've found in the marine industry, my industry, that have done Ice House. And we make an effort to try and look after each other, I guess. Brotherhood, sisterhood.
Yeah. That's so cool to hear. I love that. That's because even from our perspective, you know, working at the Ice House, those connections, we don't always see all of them, right? So, but it's always so great to hear that the community is thriving outside of it too. So yeah, it's good. Nice. To finish the conversation off, Jason, would love to hear what's a personal and professional goal that you're currently working towards?
That's a good question. I guess trying not to make things financial. We're at the moment looking at a lot of projects in my personal life with my wife. We're taking the kids to Europe in July. We're realizing it's going to cost a pretty penny, and we're moving house, planning to move house too. So that's those sorts of financial. They're all financial things in the wind. But I guess these days a lot of your personal goals end up being linked to finances. But I feel like I'm on top of my non-negotiables and routines, and that's what I've talked about already. So I don't feel like I have too much I need to change there. Got a fair bit of work to do on the business. The economy's not so great at the moment, but I know it's the same for everybody else. My industry is quite heavily tied to the economy because it's a luxury item. So there's always a bit of a time lag. People, when they aren't spending on homes, they're not going to be spending on boats. So it does slow things down. And then once the economy takes off, I often talk to my clients and they say, oh, look, I'm not going to buy a boat right now because I'm investing in my business from here on. And so it takes a couple of years after a slowdown for us to kick off again. But I've got just a few goals I need to do in terms of getting that business ticking over again to pre-COVID times. And I'm always looking after my family and the local rugby club.
Of course, that's very cool. And cool to hear that you're at a position now where you feel on top of things, you know, and that's a huge achievement that's obviously sort of fallen into place since the program, but over the last year or so. And obviously quite a nice place to be as you go into a new year.
Yeah, I've heard people sort of ask that question and how I was going, and it's nice to be able to say everything's going well. I would like to down the track see if there's a way of helping others that are facing the issues I've been through, because I think the thing that really got me through it was the camaraderie, people getting in behind me and telling me that there was light at the end of the tunnel. And so, trying to maybe a future goal for me will be to try and help others in that scenario as well.
Yeah, very cool to hear. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jason, for sharing your story. Really interesting story, actually, of following your passions and giving things a go, taking a few risks, but then, you know, really collating it all together. And in the last couple of years, seeing that change to feel really in a great place as a business owner and excited about the future. So, yeah, really inspiring conversation that I'm sure a lot of our listeners will get lots from, but really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks very much. And I really appreciate you asking me to come on this show too. I guess get a little feeling of sense of achievement, I guess, when someone asks you about your story. So, you know, if there's anyone out there that wants to connect, please feel free. My doors are always open down at O'Reckey Marina. So, awesome.